This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Here we go. It's hour number one on a rainy, toxic Tuesday here at G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Let's rock. General at your service. There's Broadus. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control there, 75 and Fitzhugh. Of course, Wolchuk and Chiafalo were reunited here. Welcome back to Zach after spending the week there with family in Florida. You're looking good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Got a little color.
Yes, and Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And it's now officially Cowboys game week. We are 5 days away, 5 days and an hour and a half from the 3:25 kickoff. Sunday's pregame going to be at noon as they visit the Browns. And I was surprised to see Cleveland as a 2.5-point favorite, guys. How are you feeling about the game here to start the week?
I couldn't agree more, man. I am very disrespectful to the Browns offense. I got no love for Deshaun Watson as just the player that he is right now. Not a good football player. So I'm feeling good about a Cowboy victory. I think it'll be super low scoring. I mean, the over-under is at like 40 points or something. But I have much more confidence in the Cowboys offense than I do the Browns.
I think this was a game we took the Cowboys to lose, didn't we?
We did.
When we did our win-loss.
We did.
I'm with you on Deshaun Watson. He has not been good, and he hasn't played at all since he got hurt last year.
November.
So there definitely could be a little bit of a factor there where he just doesn't play well. And
if you can stop the run at all.
But that's the fear, right?
And if you can just not completely turn the ball over a bunch of times offensively, you win this game, and you're not going to feel great about it when you leave because you won 17-13.
Yeah,
and it's like, gosh,
probably an ugly win.
Yeah,
but their defense is one that should be respected and feared. I mean, their defense is really, really good. Their front seven's outstanding. They've got two really good corners. And look, you're starting two rookies on the offensive line in Guyton and Beebe, and I think they're both going to be really good players. But it is quite the task. Here's Myles Garrett and one of the best defensive lines in the NFL week one. So it very well could be first 1-20 if you can get there. You win this football game.
I'll tell you what I was impressed. I was watching this morning. They run the ball with some creative ways. You know, it's not, you figure that their offensive line just comes off and mashes you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they got Wills and Betonio and Posick and those guys, that it is one of those things when you look at like, damn, how do they do it? You're just thinking, how are they so successful? But the way the scheme is, the ways, the pins, the pulls, the traps, the tight end traps, they create a lot of problems for you. And I went back and kind of watched some of the games where they didn't have Watson play. And I'm like, how do they move the ball without, you know, if the quarterback is not there, how are they going to move the ball? And, you know, there were times when, you know, they had to go to Joe Flacco to kind of get it done to get to the playoffs.
And he played well.
He did. But, man, it'll be fascinating to me to see the Cowboys. How do you stop a team that's going to be creative running the football?
Does it matter that they don't have running game Moses anymore as the O-line coach?
I tell you, Moses, that's the first thing that came into my mind when I was thinking about watching this tape. I'm like, is with no running game Moses, are they going to be able to do the things that they're doing right now? Because he is a difference maker. But if you look at all the matchups across the board and all that, they'll say that that Cleveland's receivers, when you talking about Cooper and Judy, you know, they've...
Njoku had a heck of a season last year at tight end.
Elijah Moore.
Ford catches the ball well. I mean, they've they've got some offensive guys. Now, you guys are right about the quarterback situation. But, man, Kevin Stefanski, it was pretty interesting to see how he gets he generates offense.
An underrated he's coach. Solid. Yeah. He is. I mean, Stefanski's a good coach. And, yes, Nick Chubb, we're getting asked. Chubb's not going to play.
No.
Chubb's still hurt. He's coming back from that massive knee injury. But Jerome Ford was very, very good in his absence for them last year.
He was very good. And the like I say, and just on the injury front, you talk about I heard that Overshown is good to go for you this weekend.
Awesome.
So,
right on.
So awesome. They were talking about that hip pointer. I know Brad Sham and all of us were worried about that, you know, after the last preseason game, but it looks like everything is good to go on that front.
Great first test here for the Mike Zimmer defense, you know, and, you know, last year, really for the last decade, you know, creative run games have given the Cowboys defense big problems. Yeah. So this is exciting. But, you know, I think that this is a Vegas line to punish the suckers who think the Cowboys are the team that got destroyed by Green Bay. There's just good value here. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Cowboys don't win. But I just don't think the betting public, you know, really is giving the Cowboys the credit they deserve for still being a damn good football team. And we're back at the regular season.
Yeah, we are.
The Cowboys beat average football teams quite consistently. We're two nights away from the Chiefs hosting the Ravens. The idea out there right now is the Chiefs are going to be even better and go for that elusive three-peat. Is that what we're about to see, guys? A historic and elusive three-peat? In the NFL?
I would love to see it because history is fun to see, but I'm betting against it. I'm going with the Bengals and Joe Burrow this year. I think Burrow is that guy that is next in line to finally get the championship. This might be their best chance to do it because I don't think T. Higgins is coming back next year. So I think that the Bengals dethrone the Chiefs. They're the one team that I think can do it. If they're able to stay healthy, that's a big if, but I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it. I mean, I think this Chiefs run's been a lot of fun, and we all love Patrick Mahomes.
I'd be totally down to see it. And, I do think it's very much so out there and on the table for them. I don't think anybody super, super scares you in the AFC. Certainly the Texans were good, but they have a very difficult schedule. You'll see about the health of Joe Burrow. I mean, the Chiefs for sure, far and away, have the least amount of questions.
Yeah, they do. And even when they have questions, they have ways of overcoming it.
Yeah, they have answers.
You know, it'll be interesting to see if their defense can be as good as it was last year and if their offense in the regular season can be significantly better than they were last year because that was a train wreck. But I think their offense should be better, and if their defense is just a little worse, it should still be plenty good to get the job done.
Yeah, they'll have a couple of rookies starting. Suamataya, the BYU offensive tackle will be starting left tackle for them, and then you got Worthy as well. That might be an upgrade on the outside with Worthy's speed, but yeah, keep an eye on again a rookie. Here's another team making a rookie left tackle start. You know, the Cowboys being one of the other ones as well. So, you know, Kansas City, they lost the opening day last year, right, to Detroit.
They did
in Kansas City. Yeah. That's the first time that we've seen that home team Thursday defending champ Super Bowl team lose, I believe. So,
and that was I don't think they had Chris Jones. And did Kelsey play? He was dealing with that ankle. I can't remember if Kelsey did give it a go on that day or not.
I think Jones did. I think they did. But
hey, Kansas City, tough one.
Kansas City was not good in the regular season last year.
They weren't.
They did just enough to scrape by, and then they turned it on in the postseason. But they're much more explosive now offensively.
The Chiefs are a 3-point favorite Thursday night. I love it. Friday night, you have the Eagles and Packers as well. Philadelphia is favored by 3 in this game, guys. I think that's another Vegas mistake.
Yes.
I believe what we saw last year in January was Green Bay becoming more of a contender than Philadelphia. Agree or disagree?
I mean, they're saying if this game was in Philadelphia, what would they have? They'd have Eagles by
7-6.
I mean, something, at least 4 or 5. I mean, and that just doesn't feel completely right to me. So I'm with you, and I love the way the NFL did this. You have a banger on Thursday night and Friday night. Sunday night, you got Detroit and the Rams. It's Matt Stafford back in Detroit once again. And then it's Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco on Monday night. Like, the first 4 primetime games are like,
wow,
NFL doing it right, man.
Yeah, and the Saturday college football slate is going to be awesome. Like, this entire weekend of football is incredible, but I'm with you. I'm very high on the Packers this year. I'm believing in Jordan Love. I think that's a very winnable game for Green Bay.
Yeah, let's see what happens with Philadelphia, though. Cam Jurgens now start at center.
Yeah,
you know,
that offensive line shuffling.
Yeah, that they're having to kind of shuffle some guys again.
How's that new Kellen Moore offense look?
And how's the new Dick Fangio defense?
Yeah, Becton playing the right guard, too. So they're shuffled at a couple different spots there.
Okay, the Niners have a deal with Trent Williams. We'll have more details on that coming up in the NFL News of the Day at 3 o'clock. But but no surprise there. College football weekend. We do have a college football super segment coming up at about 2:40. But LSU, kind of the talk of the
Brian
weekend
Kelly,
with
yeah.
Brian Kelly complaining yeah. so much. Brian, they fall to USC 27-20. Rip your heart out?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, this is the fifth straight year that LSU has gone, and we try and schedule these games where, you know, you get the test right off the jump, and, you know, they have not been very successful the last couple of years, especially losing to Florida State and now to USC. The defense played better. I think both teams' defenses played pretty well. Both teams on defense last year were awful. And, you know, you had quarterbacks that, you know, the first and second picks of the draft were those two quarterbacks having to be replaced. I think both teams be happy about their quarterback play, happy about their defense play. But the same story for LSU at the end. You know, they just can't find a way to get off the field, you know, on the final drive. You know, they had a chance with 7 minutes to go in the game to gain a yard and to run more clock off the ball. And LSU is supposed to be one of the best offensive lines in the country. If you can't get a yard, that's hard to say that you're one of the best offensive lines. So, yeah, disappointing for the Tigers from that aspect.
Sounds like you wouldn't mind a matchup with Idaho or Colorado State.
Well, Idaho played
Oregon
very well at the start. But, yeah, we saw a lot of blowouts.
We
saw a lot of blowouts. And yeah, I think, you know, but the schedule favors out for LSU. I think they got a good draw out of it for the teams they have to play. The Alabama game will be a difficult one, and the Ole Miss game will be difficult. But yeah, we're off and running with football. Michigan and Texas this weekend should be a lot of fun.
Dude, what did you wager with Jared?
I just bet him breakfast. Just a breakfast. No singing or anything like that. I just went basic.
No humiliation. Just here's 20 bucks. Go get you something to eat. Grab a bite.
It's hard to get humiliated when team knows it's going to probably do that for you anyway. You know, what is singing someone's fight song when you know. I usually go into these opening season games always expecting the worst. Mm. And what have I been five different times? So
you've been handed what you've expected.
Why go into it knowing that I have to sing or wear a Ben Franklin costume or something like that? Might as well just bed and breakfast and move on.
Yeah. Take some French toast, some biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Give me one of them sausage patties.
He'll load up.
Rangers are back in action tonight after watching Jack Leiter struggle yesterday. It's clear he's got to make big progress, and maybe another season in the minors next year. But I mean, he's going to be 25 next year, and I love Jared Sandler for defending Jack and saying, "Hey, this has been a great year. You struggled in Double A last year, and this year, you know, you had a good year in Triple A. That's great, you know, but." If it's not so amazing next year that it propels him into the big leagues where he pitches with confidence, it's going to be time for a little bullpen experiment.
I think, I think that's hard. To me, these are games that you put him in that situation where the Yankees walk a lot and they're very selective and they're all...
And they smash righties.
And they just seem to like... Yeah, you do. They seem to just smash. You mentioned the righties, but, you know, they're going to get hits. It's one of the better lineups in baseball. I went into this one thinking that was going to be a tall task. I was thinking that he's not going to have success in this particular game. If I was him, I'd throw him out there against the White Sox if he ever can bring that one back or somebody that, you know, somebody terrible. But it seems like that he.
Well, that's what they've done for him. You know, I mean, they've given him some of those. This is the one where it's like, hello.
Yeah, this is a big.
Last
one I remember he pitched was Detroit.
Yeah, he's played the White Sox, the Tigers, the Guardians, and the A's. So, yeah. I mean, outside
the
of the Guardians,
Yankees,
so,
I don't know.
I mean, he struck out Judge. He started well. The third time through the order, things got wonky on him.
Yeah.
Well, what? You try to make bit of progress.
No, you're right. He needs to get better. I mean, because, you know, you want him to be part of the rotation. Or, you know, you feel like I feel better now about Kumar Rocker than I do Jack Leiter. And the problem is Jack Leiter has been pitching. I've seen him pitch in the major leagues, and now I don't feel as good about him pitching. So with Kumar Rocker, it's one of those things like, hey, if you don't pitch, I feel great about you. You know, maybe Kumar Rocker gets out there and he's a bag of ass, you know, so who knows?
Well, four Rangers are in the Baseball America top 100 list. Newest highest ranker is Rocker at 30.
There you go.
Sebastian Wolcott is 55. Alejandro Rosario, a pitcher who destroyed A-ball, is on his way to Frisco soon, I believe. He's 86th. And then Emiliano Teodo, who is also a pitcher, right-handers.
You said that with confidence.
97th. Yeah, I took 4 years of Spanish.
There you go.
In high school.
There you go.
I can kind of read it.
Except for the birria tacos.
You do love those tacos.
Tacos give us a little trouble, right?
One of the annoying Edmonton Oilers the Stars ran into, Leon Draisaitl, has signed a blockbuster 8-year extension for the Oilers. Gives the star center the highest average annual contract value in the salary cap era.
$14 million?
Just $14 million here. It seems light, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Total of 112. Yeah. He's entering the final season of an original 8-year contract signed in 2017 that carries an $8.5 million cap hit.
Those hockey dudes, them and Bull Riders get no respect doing this, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, hockey dudes, they just go out there and, yeah, I played with 3 broken ribs, you know, don't worry about it. We're good. But here we are getting, like, Scottie Scheffler this weekend won $25 million playing golf.
Yeah, he did.
4 days of golf.
What a year.
And he just doubled basically for a guy.
Dude, that's incredible.
For one season. One season in hockey, yeah.
Yeah, the hockey guys got left behind. Once ESPN and the NHL parted ways before they came back together, it had a hard time driving value and driving new advertisers that keeps the salary cap moving up. Okay, well, Chuck, where are we going next?
Let's do a little NFL true or fart. We've got a great edition of some bold predictions for each division. You buying or you selling? That's next in the nation.
All right, I stand corrected there from Jared Sandler at the break. Apparently, Jack Leiter was great yesterday, giving up 5 runs and 7 hits in 5 innings. So that's my bad. Jack Leiter's going to join us coming up at 3:20 here for the Rangers Player Show.
He's your guy.
Segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen to Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 2-1.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
1-4-8-1-7-3-3-3-33-33-33. Go online to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. We're about 7.5 minutes from your G-Bag of the Day. Here's Wolchuk.
Thank you very much. Let's do a little bit of NFL true or fart as we are just 2 days away from the 2024 NFL season kicking off. We got CBS Sports putting out some bold predictions for each division. So I'm going to ask my guys, you agree, true, or do you disagree, fart? Thank you very much to Robert Flores for bringing us this game.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or fart? False. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All right, true or fart? False. We start in the AFC East, a division you know very well, Mr. Chiafalo. AFC East bold prediction, true or fart, Eric, the Buffalo Bills. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. They're going to miss the playoffs this year.
Oh, miss the playoffs, I think, is an overstatement. I do think they're going to be a little bit more down. There's been a lot of talent that has left that building. Milano at linebacker is once again injured and out, and I think that's huge for their defense. Sean McDermott's still solid. Josh Allen's still a top 3 quarterback or whatever. So, no, they're still going to be in the wild card. They will be a playoff team, but they will not be hosting. Sorry, Bills Mafia. Mm.
Oh, we got Jared.
I think. Yeah, Jared, he got a little.
Jared.
Smoke.
Oh, he wants to get some spicy.
Smoke with Dawson. Yeah.
Oh, this is perfect. Is true or fart? True. Jared's here.
I think Buffalo might be the 6th or 7th wild card team as Jared Sandler joins us now to protect his guy Jack Leiter, who I have been corrected was good yesterday, giving up 1 run per inning pitch. Jared, good afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah. No. I was listening because I love you guys and. Dawson, I heard you the other day when you were very passive-aggressive with Broadus. I know how you can be. I heard the drive-by shot there. That's cool. I was just trying to help you via text. Not sound like a total...
Okay, so you say you're trying to help me via text, Jared. This is not how you address somebody via text in the middle of a segment. Be honest. Did you watch the game? Suggesting that I was dishonest, that's where you got sideways with me, Jared, just so you know.
But did you watch the game?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so
no,
I
saw his numbers. Saw his numbers.
I understand that.
Okay.
But I was just trying to help you out, because if you watch the game, then it would be a different approach. But if you didn't watch the game, I was just trying to explain, hey, man, he allowed 2 runs through 5 innings versus one of the best lineups in baseball, pitching on 4 days rest for the first time in his career. They brought him out for the 6. You can debate whether they should have or not. Had they pulled him after 5, then it would look a lot different. He left the game with 3 runs on the board. Chase Anderson came in, allowed 2 more. It's one of those games in which the box score does not really reflect how he pitched. In his previous outings, especially against the Rockies and against the A's, did he pitch well in Cleveland? No, he didn't. I'm not going to sit here and defend him. Now, I have said, and you addressed it in the first segment, that his jump from last year to this year in the minor leagues was a big step in the right direction. And I have said a number of times, if your expectation is for Jack Leiter to be an ace, then you probably are on the wrong path. But yesterday was definitely a step in the right direction. He was efficient. He threw 16 pitches per inning, as opposed to the 22 pitches per inning over his first, 5 outings as a big leaguer. Yes, he gave up 5 runs in 5 innings. At the end of the day, do you want to give up 5 runs in 5 innings? No. But he also gave up 2 runs through his 5 completed innings. And had he not come back out for the 6, and I think there was an argument to be made that he shouldn't have, then his afternoon or his evening looks totally different. All I was trying to explain was that the line and the reality didn't really match up. I wasn't trying to sit here and tell you to give Jack Leiter a Cy Young because of his performance yesterday. But if you watch the game, there were a number of things that were impressive that looked way better than what they looked or how they looked over his first start. That's all.
Yeah, but none of that is bigger than the fact that it's a failed second overall draft pick. Like, he might be salvaging this into somehow, you know, progressing to be a number 3 at his absolute peak right now, but it's a massive disappointment. And like,
Gavin, I'd love
taking
to
baby
Chris
steps.
420.
Taking
hey,
baby
T-Y,
steps.
Do you feel like that's a fail?
I don't care what he would say. He wouldn't answer that correctly.
No,
he wouldn't answer that honestly.
Gavin, can I ask you a question? Why is this failed? Is it failed because he hasn't come up yet and established himself?
Well,
why is it failed?
It's failed because he was a number 2 overall pick multiple years ago, and he's struggling mightily every time he gets a sniff at the major leagues. He's going to be 25 years old the first month of next baseball season. So
we've
had a significant amount of time where it doesn't look like he's going to be able to consistently get guys out, to the point that you even admitted he's not going to be an ace. End of story.
Yeah,
we agree on this, Jared.
He was never going to be, when he was drafted, Gavin, he wasn't said to be an ace.
Oh.
We talked about this. I know. I don't know if you've listened or not, but I've told you this. When he was drafted 2nd overall, no one said Jack Leiter future ace. Now, you don't want to put a ceiling on a kid who's 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Obviously, guys who are drafted in the 10th round aren't ever thought to be all-stars, but some become all-stars. But if you go back and read a lot of the prognostications, a lot of people said, hey, we think Jack Leiter can be a really good middle-of-the-rotation guy, maybe a number 2. No one thought Jack Leiter was going to be Paul Skeens. The prognosis for Paul Skeens when he was drafted, way different than Jack Leiter, right? It was a weird time because of COVID and the pandemic, but he's 24 years old. He was a draft-eligible sophomore. He lost 1 year because of COVID. I mean, Jesus, this guy, he's 24. He's not 34. If he becomes a regular in your rotation to where you can slot him into the 3 spot, is he a Hall of Fame-bound pitcher? No, but that's not a failure. I think we're closing. It's like we're writing his final chapter way too soon here.
I mean, is he even one of the top Rangers prospects anymore as the number 2 overall pick? I guess that's my bad for having expectations too high on a guy.
No, Gavin, you're spinning this because you don't know how else to combat me other than by playing the, oh, I guess it's my bad. You're not listening to anything I'm saying, though.
Okay, that's like, the second insult you've given me in the last 30 minutes. Screw you, Jared. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye. There it is. It's time now for the G-Bag of the day. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
That's the kind of lead-in I'm talking about right there. Go. That's the kind of lead-in I need.
Baby.
Put some respect on G-Bag of the day. You give me lead-ins like that.
You're alive.
That smoke.
Gosh, I missed you guys.
That's that smoke right there. Boy, I tell you what. If coming to talk to you like a man was a person, it'd be Jared Sandler.
Yeah.
He'll come tap you on the shoulder. Hey, so what that thing you said the other day, it was back in March, really, but I've been thinking about it the whole time. Jared will come thaw you out, bro.
Let me tap it on the small of your back, though. Let's be real.
What is that? Oh, that's you, Jared. What is that? All right, looks like King James, LeBron James, is still our winner of G-Bag of the Day. How many days? I'm thinking three at this point. We've lost a lot of days here, fam. But yeah, King James talked about his son Bronny joining him at work, and will he be able to call him dad in the office?
What's your working relationship? Is he going to call you dad at practice in the locker room?
No, he can't. We already laid that down. He cannot call me dad in the workplace. All right, once we leave out of the practice facility and the gates close, I could be dad again. Okay. In the car if we ride together. Okay. At home, I could be dad. No, he got to call me like 2-3 or Brian.
Okay.
Or, goat if you want to. That's up to him. I mean, it's up to him. But it's easy for me. It's easy for me because I've been calling him Bronny for so long. Yeah. It's not like I've been calling, hey, son. Yeah. Easy for me. It's going to be the adjustment for him. But we cannot be running down the court. And he'd be like, dad, push the ball up. Dad, I'm open. Dad, come on.
Tell you what, if I'm playing against LeBron James, I'm screaming pops and I'm slapping my hands. He's never played with this one before. You know what I mean? This is new to him. I may get a few turnovers before he realizes. Whatever.
Hey, by any means necessary.
You got to do what you got to do. Dad!
Yeah.
See if you turn it over by accident. All right, let's see what else we got for you boys. Keep it in basketball. Let's go to New York Knicks guard, Deuce McBride. He was on Pat Mack's show.
Oh.
He helped some kid get some free college tuition situations. Check this out.
The guy here, Logan, that was here at 6 a.m. wearing that white hat right there.
Yeah.
Logan.
The guy here, Logan, that was here at 6 a.m. wearing that white hat right there.
Yeah.
He's a junior. He's on a couple scholarships, but not all of them. If you make one of your first three shots, I will pay the rest of that guy's tuition.
Ooh.
Boom. Let's go, baby.
Come on, confident. Dude. Now, where am I shooting it from?
You tell me. Is the stage too tight here for you to shoot from here? Do you want to go down on the...
I might have to go down here.
Okay, you absolutely can do it.
I might have to go down here.
You can do that. Deuce, if you had to give a guesstimation, how far of a shot is this? About half court, you think? Yeah, about half court. A little bit on beyond. There's a little bit of wind. Deuce McBride for some kid's tuition.
Looks good.
Nice.
Yes!
What a moment.
Pat McAfee, they had a kid finally make a field goal.
That A&M kid?
Yeah. He'd given money away for field goal attempts, and like with Kurt Herbstreit holding, they finally gave one away, like $50,000.
And they let him go twice.
Yeah.
They upped it the second time.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
I think it was Herbstreit's dog that was holding it, by the way.
I told my girl about you.
I saw that too, and I was like, I knew Eric should be so pissed.
I got so many tweets,
right now.
Bro. I was going to tweet that.
Why is he so upset with the dog? I don't understand. Why does it bother him so much?
Oh, the dog's in the booth. Put a headset on him.
Dog barking out analysis during a game.
Hey, shout out to Pat Mack's crew, man. Whoever had that eye that seen that shot fall in before it fell in, listen to it.
Deuce McBride for some kid's tuition.
Looks good.
Oh! Yeah. He seen it. Looks good.
Looks good.
I like that. Let's see what else we got for you boys. Oh, It Is What It Is podcast. Cam and Mace are back for a new season.
There we go.
Playmaker Michael Irvin has joined them as an NFL correspondent this season.
Replacing OJ, huh?
Replacing the late, great OJ. Hey, yo. Hey, Twitter world. It's yours truly. The Playmaker joins It Is What It Is podcast. And the story after his first appearance is wild. Like, what a transition this is.
We have a lot of weeks to see the progress happen, man. But thanks, Mike. We appreciate you on the first day, baby.
Yeah.
Y'all, my brothers, man. I appreciate you, man. Thanks, dog.
Salute, baby.
Bye. Right. Okay, so before we end the show, we just got a couple more topics to discuss. So Michael Jordan's son, Marcus Jordan, was caught sniffing a white substance in some photos that went viral earlier in the month next to his new girlfriend. Of course, a lot of memes were thrown around, but what was you guys' initial reaction to seeing those pictures?
We gotta wait for Mike to get off talking about that.
Can't bring that and want to trigger him.
We didn't want to trigger him. Trigger him. Not him. We didn't want to trigger him. Let's see what else we got. Nick Saban. Y'all seen Nick Saban cussing and fussing on television?
Yes. Wow.
I feel like the producers or whoever it is tapped him on the shoulder and said, go ahead, Nick. We want to make a splash.
You know what?
Let it fly a little bit, Nick. Yeah.
I know we all want to see who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah.
But to do what they did and want to continue to do, you're going to have two running backs.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, you guys keep talking about a $20 million roster.
Yeah.
If you don't pay the right guys, you'll be out of luck.
Fact check.
He's right.
That's a fact check.
Life, baby. That's life.
Go ask Matt Brown.
You just broke the internet.
He did.
Yeah, it's a fact, Jack. It's a money game now out here. It's up! It's been a money game, but now everybody getting some.
I would have given $10 million for a better defense at LSU.
Man, how about that?
I would have just said, here's a check for $10 million. Please give me a better defense.
To holler at Phil Knight. Be like, come on down here, bro.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for me, Dawson.
Is it LeBron on Bronny? Three looking for four here we established?
You're such a professional there, Mr. Dawson. Yeah. Tell you what.
Is it the New York Knicks guard, Deuce McBride? Is it Cam and Mace with Michael Urban? Is it Nick Saban cussing it up on ESPN? Or is it Jack Leiter with his best start as a professional here yesterday? We'll have to pull some audio for that at a later date.
You see what I'm saying?
They're talking about MLB baseball right now.
Yeah, they're like, should they have pulled him?
Come on. Guys, this is progress.
Managerial malpractice.
He's down to one run per inning. Okay? His ERA is approaching single digits now as a result of yesterday's start. You know?
Oh, man.
We're at 11-7-8 now. That's progress, man. You don't have to watch the game to see that. Okay. I'll go with Cam and Mace with Michael Irvin.
Me too.
Lucius?
Oh. Nick Guard. Helped some kid that tuition. What a hell of a shot. It was real far.
I love those.
Yeah. And it was just a little raggedy goal to be outside front of somebody's house. Like, this is not a real NBA goal or nothing.
Oh, wow.
They just held up a goal. My man made it.
Man, these podcasters are getting bags, bro.
Oh, don't ruin LA Live, please. Wow. But yes, we're going to definitely.
Okay.
I'm glad you're excited about the conversation. Good.
good.
Yeah. They out here giving that up.
Oh, you got to get
it. Yeah, they're like, hey. Who wants 100 grand? Yeah. Yeah. Boom, you get 100 grand.
That's a new basis out here.
I got DraftKings money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Chuck?
I'll go for the champ.
Okay, we're 2-1-1, Brian.
Go with Nick Saban.
By a score of 2-1-1-2-1. And now your new G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Michael Irvin with Cam and Mace.
Damn, sorry,
on that
Mike.
Very popular broadcast podcast.
Sorry, Mike.
Okay, what do we got coming up next, gentlemen? A little college football super question. Segment.
Oh, are we super segmenting
true
right now?
True or fart?
No, we can bring back true or fart
call
tomorrow.
Jared.
Jared, you come back on. Week one overreactions to the college football season, and we got some bad news for Texas A&M. That's next in the nation.
All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jack Leiter's coming up at 3:20 here. We'll talk with the, I guess we call him a Rangers rookie now, don't we? Now he's pitching a number of games.
Rangers rookie.
Okay. Segment here is Zach Wolchuk's college football super segment. Here he is, Zachary.
It was so great to have college football back. I mean, Friday
speak
night.
For yourself.
Yeah, we'll get to you. We'll get to your LSU Tigers here in just a second.
No, it is nice to have college football.
But
we've already got an 0-2 team. Our 10th ranked team in the country is already 0-2.
Let's start there with Florida State. Oh, my goodness. So they lose, of course, in Ireland last week to Georgia Tech. And then last night, they play Boston College. Bill O'Butchin making his debut as the Boston College head man. They beat Florida State 28-13. Florida State.
They beat them up.
Now, I mean, it was brutal. I mean, at home, they're thinking, all right, this is going to be a get-right game for Florida State. Didn't happen.
0-2 in the conference now.
Yeah, and they've now, surprise, surprise, they've fallen out of the AP top 25. I don't think that was a shocker.
No.
But they have now joined a pretty ugly company, as I think they're just the third team in college football history to be ranked in the top 10 and lose their first two games when they were favored by double digits.
Oof.
So, not a good start to the season. And then we talked about the FSU fan.
This coach has done this before, though. He's finished.
Norvell?
Norvell has been 0-2 a couple of different times. I think 2020 and 2021, they were 0-2 to start a season.
That seat is spicy right now.
It's hard. I'll tell you what, though. He signed a big-time extension last year after what he went through.
That's why you don't feel bad for these coaches.
No, you never do. Jimmy Sexton, remember what he did? He Norvell flirted with Alabama's job.
He did.
And then Jimmy got the Washington coach the job at Alabama, got Sark an extension, and got Norvell an extension, parlaying that Alabama job opening.
That's bad.
Yeah.
So now they've fallen out of the top 25. And I mean, it was just an embarrassing loss, historic loss for them.
And DJU is so bad.
Oh, gosh.
He's sport. Somebody said the Denton Day tweeted out the fall off from Jordan Travis to DJU is the biggest fall off in college football since the fall off from Trevor Lawrence to DJU.
Yeah.
And Clemson. I mean, right now it's like him and Cade Klubnik are battling to see who can be the crappiest quarterback in the conference.
And that was one. I mean, I was watching the Clemson Georgia game. Yeah. Georgia just roast Clemson 34-3. And it's like, is that Clemson offense that incompetent, or is it just Georgia's defense is that good? Maybe both are true. I don't know, but Georgia does look like they are far and away the top team in the country. They are brilliant.
Georgia well coached.
Very well coached.
Very well coached. And, you know, and they were really a bad game. I mean, give Alabama, who was well coached last year as well. You know, that SEC championship game cost Georgia an opportunity to win another national championship.
Sure did.
Because when they don't lose a game all year, and they lose that one game, and then they get knocked out of the playoffs. You know, it's just crazy to think how that works.
Well, okay, so we'll get to Brian Kelly here in a second. We do have this Georgia fan. Now, this has gone viral.
It's
the FSU fan. We talked about this with KNC.
FS Poo.
And, yeah, literally. And Scott Van Pelt called him out last night as well on his show.
Nobody wants to see anybody eat that stuff, right?
Oh, speak for yourself.
I don't know. Okay. I think there would probably be some Gator fans, some Hurricane fans, like people that hate Florida State would probably love to see Gudge at 3-2-1 Knoll.
There's like categories for this, man.
Who said, if Florida State loses to BC this weekend, I will eat dog poop out of a Red Solo cup with a spoon and post a video of it. Book it. He has since deleted his account, but the internet remembers. And Scott Van Pelt made sure everybody last night remembered as well.
Team's down, that's understandable. They're not down as bad as that dude on the internet who said he'd eat dog poop out of a Solo cup. But then you think you just get to delete your account, and the internet ain't going to forget that, buddy. You don't get to just keep it moving and get a new name or something. People are going to find you. That's how that works.
You got to pay up, bro. We got receipts.
Yeah. I will find you.
That's a must coward situation, though. Yeah. That's not something you're going to follow through on.
You don't want to step up and be a man and show that you're a man of your word.
No, you're probably. I Googled it there at the last break. And
what about the idea that you could be cursing your entire program now forever? The curse of the dog ass. Yeah, the dog poo curse. And we could be talking about this for hundreds of years. It could be one of those.
You could parlay this into some money, financial acquisitions, possibly. Now, you stream this thing.
People are looking for poo eaters all over the place.
People are like,
you'd be surprised.
Hey, this thing's going to go viral now. I'm the guy that said I'd eat dog poop out of a cup.
It can be lethal. You're almost guaranteed a vicious case of worms if you eat any amount of it.
Yeah, he's an idiot. He's probably drunk when he put that out there. Now he's trying to crawfish it, Brian.
He's apparently...
Keep it lean, those worms.
Mm. Oh, it will. Yeah.
Keep it nice and lean, bro. Eat anything you want.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, right. Trash and food. Staying nice for 200. And abbed up.
Yeah. We're going the silver lining here.
Yeah, I like this. But he's deleted Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. Somebody found his girlfriend's Instagram, the 817 said.
Well, he's apparently recently engaged.
Oh, no.
To be married. So now this girl has to wrap her mind around the fact that she's marrying the potential, the
FSU
poo
guy.
Who's not a man of his word.
You're the FSU Poo guy, and you lied to everybody and said, book it, I would do this. Now you're not doing this.
A girl dad, I'm stepping into that situation and calling this thing off.
Yeah. Honey, you're this done. Guy's not a man of his word.
Well, you can just say I'm not paying.
You can do better.
No. Father, I'm not paying for this.
He's lying to you left and right.
She's like, honey, why did you delete, like, your? I'm trying to tag you in this cute picture of us, and I can't find your Instagram anymore. And he's like, well, here's the deal. Mm.
I wonder if she's a Florida State fan, too.
I'm concerned.
Yeah, and that
definitely not a graduate.
If she might not be either.
If she's a true fan, I think that then she wants him to be a man of his word and go full-fledged into that solo cup. Because I'm telling you, this could be bad news forever for FSU. They will be FS Poo forever.
They're FS Poo. Now, top 25 out for the AP. A&M not in the top 25 after they lose to Notre Dame. Notre Dame moved up to 5. Alabama's at 4. Texas is at 3 ahead of their showdown with Michigan in the Big House. Michigan's at 10. Ohio State at 2. Georgia in at number 1. But A&M, they lost their center for the season. He's got a lower leg injury. He was a sophomore, suffered the injury in the first quarter against Notre Dame, so that's a big loss
for
them.
They went through 3 centers in that game, I believe.
Man.
They were down to the final snap was with a freshman center never done that. They got the interception there, but yeah, it's unfortunate what happens to you with these injuries.
When the Florida State tie-in, so Florida State and LSU had played in the season openers. Now we got LSU and USC.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kelly after the game, just not happy. And, you know, Brian, I've seen him. He's gone viral, and he's kind of been made fun of after this reaction post-game.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things. About not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. And I got to coach them better because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're in a position to finish.
No, they've had games, and even when they were bad on defense last year, you know, they had Ole Miss down. They've had several games where they went out and spent money on a new defensive coordinator, $2 million. A lot of the same problems. I mean, they played better. It wasn't the tackling wasn't horrendous, but the fact that they just give up. You know, we always talk about DBU. You know, this is DBU. We're so proud about all the defensive backs and stuff that we have. You know, and they'll have some kids come in next year, but if you know, that obviously if you look at it, LSU needs help, but they might go somewhere else now. They just don't find ways to finish these games off like they should.
Well, late in the game, it's 3rd and 1, and you do a shotgun handoff for like
7 minutes.
Gain.
There's 7 minutes left in the game, and you have a chance. You have a chance to maybe run about 3-4 minutes off this clock and, you know, get in field goal range and kick one and end it. Yeah, they also, like I say, they got down. They had the opening drive of the game. They go 78 yards and stopped on the 3-yard line.
USC quarterback Miller Moss, that final drive was very, very impressive. He's waited his chance behind Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Now gets the chance to start. Smaller player. I mean, 6'1", 205. I don't know that he's really 6'1". He looks kind of tiny out there, but he made sideline throw to set him up.
They've got some skilled guys.
I'd be blaming the coach, but I'm not looking for any sort of great call. Your defense still sucks. You're in Louisiana, and you're about to have a defense out of the top 100 again.
Yeah, it does.
It's an issue.
The thing about it is that we've talked about it over the years about how you take advantage of the talent you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's guys that they feel like they're playing them out of position. They're having to do this. A lot of the same story. I just knew going in the game there. I was talking with Jared about it, but, you know, when we were talking about the bets, I said, this is going to go either way. But I have a feeling I know how this could end. Yeah. You know, people were like, oh, tough game and all that. I'm like, why are you texting me? I had a feeling that, you know, this is something I've seen the last, you know, several years. Teams' inability to stop people, inability to get a key. We haven't had in 2019 when LSU won the national championship. Yeah, defense, offense. I mean, it was going along pretty damn good. It looked like Georgia playing out there, Alabama playing like there. But, you know, if you have a bad defense, you'll get exposed. really quickly, especially pass defense.
No doubt.
At the end of the, you know, you don't get pass rush and you give up chunk plays.
Yeah.
It's like the Green Bay game to me with the chunk plays that were going on there.
You don't expect that from LSU. You don't, given their pedigree and history.
You're going to get the other team's best play with maximum aggression in the final 5 minutes. And if your defense is weak, it's about to look hella weak.
I knew when that thing, when LSU couldn't score to make it, you know, a touchdown game, I knew that them coming, that USC was going to find a way to win that game. Because they, when it tied, I said, LSU can't stop them in the final drive. They're not going to do it.
Mm. There's your college football super seg.
Thank you, Woolchuck. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about 24 minutes from Jack Leiter joining us, the Ranger rookie. NFL news of the day coming up next. What's on top?
Hey, a lot of Niner updates today. An Eagle is not happy about this Brazil game, and maybe you should bet on the Lions this year. That's next in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.